I want us to begin tonight, at least for this month, something that is entitled, Let the Bible Speak. You'll see that as these lessons are developed. But you understand that the Bible talks about topics. And so I want us tonight, in the time that we have remaining, to talk about, let the Bible speak about eternal security. What do we mean by that? Well, you see the text that's there on the front screen, and that is John chapter 10, verse 27 to 29. Look at what that text says. It's already been read. It's Jesus describing his sheep, and he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they'll never perish. There's not anyone that can snatch them out of my hand. And my Father is of the same nature. He has given them to me. He's greater than I. And there's not anyone that's able to snatch those who are my sheep out of the hand of me or out of the hand of my Father." What a great blessing and promise this is. But there are those individuals who've taken this verse and overemphasized the truthfulness of it. They've overlooked something about this sheep. It is true that all the demons of hell and, put together cannot snatch you out of the hand of Jesus, cannot snatch you out of the hand of the Father. There's, put every man on earth and let every man on earth try to snatch you out of the hand of Jesus and out of the hand of the Father, and I want you to know it will not happen. That's what the text says. But we need to examine that text more thoroughly because Jesus says, here are the sheep. Is it possible that that individual who is a sheep is excluded from the fact that there's not anyone that can snatch them out of my Father's hand? Yes, the anyone does not apply to that individual that's in the Father's hand. What are the kinds of sheep that the demons of hell do not have the power to snatch out of the hand of Jesus or to snatch them out of the hand of God? Here it is. My sheep who hear my voice and follow me, they have eternal security. But the question is it possible for that sheep to change his mind? And that's really what tonight's lesson is about. We're going to put some charts on the board as we develop these lessons, and we're going to try to contrast the teachings from God, the doctrines from God, and over against that are the doctrines of men. You look at that next slide and it says, let God be true and every man a liar. All that matters tonight is those things that are over here on the left side of the screen. And so what we're going to be doing is we're going to be putting some verses here on the left side of the screen. And then they will be contrasted with the doctrines of men. What doctrine do we look at tonight? Well, the doctrines of men that we want to look at tonight described in various ways. Once saved, always saved. There is the security of the believers. There is an impossibility of falling away from grace. And there's that expression that's used over and over again by individuals to describe this particular doctrine. So what we're going to try to do is to put some verses on the other side of the screen, not to make the Bible contradictory. The Bible says there's nothing in this life that can separate us from the love of God. That's Romans chapter 8. But what about us? Is it possible for us to turn our back on God? And we need to understand that. And so here's what we're going to do. Let's just look at this first verse and you'll be able to understand it. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back. Wait a minute. I thought once you had the truth, you'd never be able to leave the truth. This verse says, if anyone, which includes everyone. It's all-encompassing when he says, if anyone, and so it can happen to anyone, and that's everyone. Now look again. He says, my brethren. my brethren is expression found over and over again in the book of James. If we had time, we could just start in James 1 and look at chapter after chapter after chapter. This is a book written by an inspired writer, a scribe of God by the name of James. And the Holy Spirit looked at these individuals and he said, they are brethren. They're saved. But look at what the text says. If any of you wanders away from the truth, John 17, 17 says, thy word is truth. You and I need to understand that there is that which is truth, and it is possible, that's what this verse says, for me to do that very thing. Now, if I wander from the truth and someone, the old King James says, converts him. The new King James says, turns him back. There was that time that he was one of the sheep following Jesus, and he was following Jesus. He was one of those individuals that there's no power of hell that could snatch him out of Jesus' hand. What happened? He left that which he'd been following. He turned away. He turned back. And he walked away, wandered away from the truth. Did not Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life? He's left it. He's left the Lord. Now what happens? He says, now if someone goes and converts him, goes and turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner, wait a minute, this is a brother. Yes, but he's turned his back. He is a wayward brother. He's guilty of sin. That's how he's turned his back. He who turns a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Here's that individual that's walking this way. He decides to turn around and walk back the other way. And someone comes and says, wait a minute. You need to remember where you were. You change him. You turn him around and you save him from dying. Is that physical death? Oh, no. No way that'd be physical death, because whether you turn him back or not, you're going to die. You save him from eternal death. The Bible describes the lake of fire and brimstone in Revelation chapter 20 as the second death. Here's the brother. He's walking with Jesus. He's a sheep that's following the Lord. He is an obedient individual. He turns his way back away from Jesus and he walks away. And if nothing happens, if he doesn't turn back, he is going to face the second death, a lake of fire and brimstone. I want you to look at that. Then I want you to look at these words here. Let God be true. We need to understand the clarity with which the Bible shows this. Can we look at another one? Look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 through 22. If, Peter says, if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they're saved. Here's the pollution that's in this world. And through learning about Jesus and the knowledge of Jesus, they have escaped the pollutions of the world. They're saved. If they are saved, and then the Bible says, they again are entangled therein and overcome. Entangled again therein. Entangled with the bondage of sin through the knowledge of Jesus. He has escaped sin, and now he is entangled again. He gets back and starts living the way that he used to live. Let him know, the Bible says, he's worse off now than he was before he escaped the pollution of the world. Sometimes individuals would say, well, I thought he was saved. I knew he fell away, but he must not have been saved. There's no thought at all as to whether this man has been saved. There's no thought at all if that, in that individual in James 5 has been saved. He's my brethren who's been following the Lord, and he ceases to follow the Lord. And here's this individual who by the knowledge of the Lord has escaped the pollution of the world, and he gets entangled again. What's his condition? He was lost before he found Jesus. And the only conclusion you can come to is he's more lost than he was. Let again look at the words at the top. Let God be true and every man a liar. Look at Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Beware, brethren, beware, lest there be in any of you, same thoughts as we had before. Any means every one of us could happen. It's brethren. The Holy Spirit looks at these individuals and they know they're called the brethren. Brethren, lest there be, beware, lest there be in any of you an evil heart in departing from the living God. You know how you depart from God? Because at one time you were where God was. You obeyed the gospel, you became a brother in the family of God. What happens? The Bible says that if that happens to me, my condition is what? Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelieving in departing from the living God. Exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. That's the blessing. That is the security that we have. And that is, we have that confidence that I am a child of God, that I have escaped the pollution of the world. But if I wander away, some individual says, oh no, you cannot wander away. What's the text say? If any of you wanders away, beware. And the statement is, you'll be a partaker of Christ. And look at this little two-letter word right here. If. What if I do not? I become a partaker of Christ if I stay faithful. I wish we had to look at the entirety of the book of Hebrews. If you want to know whether an individual can fall away from God, read the book of Hebrews. One more passage. That is Galatians chapter 5, written to the churches of Galatia. In chapter 1, he says, I marvel that so soon you have removed yourself from him that called you into the grace of Christ. Chapter 5, verse 4, he says, earlier in this chapter that we're about to look at, you have fallen from grace. Those are divine words, not the words of men that talks about once in grace, always in grace. You have fallen away. And then he says this. And folks, listen to what it says and let God speak to your heart. Here's a letter written to saints. It's written to those churches that Paul had been a part of establishing. And he talks about the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, evident, and they are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions and heresies, envying, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you before, just as I tell, as I've told you in the past, I'm telling it to you again, that those who practice such things shall not, will not inherit the kingdom of God. I want to ask you, is it possible for a person who has committed his life to Jesus to do any of these things? And then what if it's not just a one-time kind of thing, but he's practicing it? Some people say, oh no, it would be impossible. If he's saved, he'd never have practiced. That's not what this text. It's written to saints, and it talks about adding the fruit of the Spirit in the verses that follow, and it defines the flesh, and he says, if you practice these things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Is there security for believers? Absolutely. But you and I need to understand that when sin comes into our life, even after we become Christians, we have to deal with it. Let God be true. Read these verses again. Download them from the internet when this sermon is placed on our website. And read these verses once again. And then use these verses when you're trying to help individuals understand what God says. The story of the Bible is the story of those who were in favor with God who fell away. Think about the Jewish nation, God's chosen people, separated from God because of their unbelief. Here's the reality of this situation over here. It says, if you become a Christian, you lose your free will. There's nothing you can do once you're saved to lose your salvation. That's not what the Holy Spirit says. And this brief look at these four passages of Scriptures will help us understand it. You see, it's the blood of Jesus that washes away our sins when we become children of God. You and I need to understand that we're washed in the blood. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. Do you know when we're washed in the blood? Well, we need to believe in Jesus. We need to turn away from the wrong. That's repentance. We need to confess that our faith is in Jesus Christ. And then we need to be baptized. And Acts 22:16 says, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. You want the blood of Jesus to wash away your sins? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. You become a child of God. You become a part of the brethren. You become a part of the family. You are part of the body. You're part of the sheep of Jesus. But you've got to be that sheep that continues to follow. Now hear this verse. To those who have done all of these things, and the Bible says to the most of us who are here tonight who are Christians, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from our sins. Why? Because we're His sheep, we hear His voice, and we follow Him. But I have free will, and as I had the free will to become a child of God, I have that same free will to turn my back against God. The question is, what's my spiritual condition? Worse than it was before I became a child of God. Where are you tonight? Are you washed in the blood? If we can help you in any way to let the blood of Jesus touch your life, Let us know how we can do it by coming to the front right now as together we stand and as we sing.